Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Like, is yes,
that, this, I mean, the Swedish film, the yes, Swedish, it's the one.
Like, dude,
is that, the one with is the that Euro trash vampire movie, dude? Is that what that is,
let
dude?
Let the right one in. The Innocence.
Let the Innocence in.
It
innocence?
Was like, it was like Let the Right One In, X-Men style. Are you starting?
I am starting.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, yeah.
Hello, fuck. Welcome to the Hoosier Podcast, episode 354. This is Jorge.
Ah, fuck. This is Matt. Fuck.
What? There's no way I can I'll
you can't follow that.
I'll be the regular guy now. This is Rhett.
Hi. Fuck yeah, you are.
Ah, fuck.
Ah, fuck.
How's it going, boys?
Fuck yeah.
It's going pretty good.
It's fucking great. Fucking so good.
All three of us should talk like this.
That no, way. Thank you.
You won't be able to tell who's who at all.
Yeah.
You think our voices
so
would be that?
So fucking good.
So fucking
fuck.
Good.
Oh. Yeah.
Fuck!
Let me tell you about this movie. I'll just be the loud one. Fuck.
This movie fucks.
Fucks so hard. So fucks.
This is for Pride Month, right?
Yeah.
Shut
that's
up!
That's why it fucks.
We like stuff that fucks. Yeah. And then so it's like one star, it's not good. Five stars, it fucks.
One star does not fuck. But five stars, fucks. It fucks.
Damn, he's pretty good. This acting thing is really good.
It's really helping.
It fucks.
How you been?
I'm good.
Yeah, that's dope.
Oh my god. How you been, Matt?
Nah, I fuck. I've been good. Pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been
what, like 2 weeks again? Right?
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, almost.
You're the only one who counts.
We didn't record last
You're the only
week.
One who counts the days.
I count because I miss you guys.
Yeah.
But I didn't in
Still
this
Still counting the days since you left me. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Done some cool shit.
Like what, dude?
Me and George didn't go to RX Bandits. We had tickets and let them all go to waste.
We did go get burgers.
We got expensive, fancy burgers.
Where'd you go?
What is it?
Swagyu Chop Shop.
What the fuck is that?
It's a burger joint with swag.
It's hella swaggy.
Yeah.
Swaggy.
It is the most overpriced burger you'll ever see.
It was a good burger, but it was not worth
it. It was an acceptable burger, but not for that price point.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Them potatoes were good, though.
What's the best? What?
Oh, I've been there. Is this the Hawaiian burger type place?
No.
Oh, no, this is different. Imperial Beach?
Yeah.
No, PB.
It looks like there's one in Imperial Beach.
I think there is one in Imperial Beach.
There's yeah.
Oh,
we went IB, to where all the frat boys are.
IB, PB, and Poway, I think this is our third. What's the best smash burger you think in San Diego?
Smash, dude, fucking the Friendlies. There's this place, it's in North Park. There's two of them now. There's one on 30th and there's one on University where Carnita Snack Shack used to be.
Oh,
dude, they have just this regular smash burger. It's $5 and it's fucking bomb, just melts in your mouth, just so greasy.
Do you remember the sandwich, the steak sandwich at
Carnita? Oh, the steak sando? Fuck yeah. That was my go-to.
Why'd they have to do it to us?
Well, they closed down.
They opened up by the harbor.
Did they?
Yeah.
I know they expanded. They opened like three or four locations and then they closed like all of them. So yeah, we didn't go to that. I went to Nico Case by myself, which was really fucking weird. So that was something.
How was that?
It was a great show.
It was something.
It was a great show. They didn't have a drummer, so like some of the songs felt a little like muddied, like they were almost trying to keep time with one of the guitars, and that felt a little weird.
Were they also accused of sexual misconduct?
Not yet, that I know of. But I wouldn't think so. Nico Case doesn't seem like that kind of person.
Well, I mean, Neither did Dance Gavin Dance, but
I would have assumed at least one of them would have been.
Named his Bance Dance Gavin Dance. And
that's what they named his Bance.
His Bance. He named his Bance Dance.
And then I went to the Del Mar Fair with my little sister and saw 311. So that's a weird fucking show, dude. Like,
what, a 311 show?
I saw them like 3 years ago.
So like Nick Hexum, like for being 52, that dude looks real good. Like that ginseng working out for him.
It's not ginseng. It's fucking adrenochrome.
But bro, like he's so weird. Like
autism.
I don't.
Autism.
He dances around like a hippie, but like an Instagram influencer hippie, but like. He feels like he has no energy and he's just going through the motions because he has to.
That's Omaha style-y.
And 40 years later, they've been in a band.
S.A. Martinez still struts around like fucking Rooster, like the cock of the walk. Rooster? But then they gave...
second time you said cock of the walk.
Because he literally fucking struts around like a chicken. Dude.
I remember
like,
seeing...
You look like a little chicken.
I remember seeing the video for Down the first time and I was like...
I loved
it. This guy is awesome.
I went and fucking found a hoodie that was neon green and when he holds
the mic like this and he does that little fucking...
Hell yeah.
So good.
Hell yeah. Fuck. I remember that song. Like, when that song came out, it was number 96 on 91X's top 96 of, or top 95 of 95. And
because it was towards the end of the year.
And Subway had meatball subs for 96 cents. And so I just got meatball subs every day. And then I kept listening to 311 because I was like, who's 311? And somebody's like,
311 nerd.
And I was like, okay, it's fine.
That's
and,
super 90s story right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, dude. And it was dope.
311 was the first CD that I ever shoplifted.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what mine was.
The warehouse at Plaza Bonita.
I never stole a CD.
The first one I remember stealing was Coheed and Cambria's Second Stage Turbine Blade.
Damn, that's not that long ago.
That was 2002, but that's the first one I remember stealing.
I remember the first two CDs I bought of modern rock music, and that was in seventh grade. That was Filter, Short Bus, and Weezer's Blue Album.
Mm. Oh, mine I got from BMG, so I got four for a penny, which I never sent them. And I got Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Oh, that's why.
I got...
the flip-flops.
I got I got Snow's 12 Inches of Snow.
What?
I got...
No, so that me snow me, I go blame.
Yep.
What? A leaky
bum bum down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, no, he was pretty much dead on. I got Salt and Peppa's, whichever one had Shoop on it, and then I got Dr. Dre's Da Chronic. That was my first four
CDs.
That's
you, dude.
That is me. That's me in a nutshell right there. White guy reggae, white guy whatever the fuck Red Hot Chili Peppers are.
White guy reggae.
Yeah, 90s female R&B, and then gangster rap. That's me.
But what about Only in Dreams, the closer from the Blue Album, dude?
That song fucks.
Well, you're imagining your chick.
That song's hard.
I'm in seventh grade in my room on my waterbed.
Dude.
In the dark crying like...
That was one of my favorite bass lines to play for the longest time. Yeah, it's dope. And then I went to a Padre game. Took the carbon-based life form to her first Rockies game.
This is your love.
Can we start saying hi to her now?
No. She said she doesn't want that, and she's not asking for that. So, no.
Damn, smart, smart woman.
She asked about the Sophia thing. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. Fuck you, dude.
And NoCal Mike asked if we were going to start doing that to her, and I said no. And she's like, yeah, please don't. Not asking for that. Don't want that.
Well, you think Sophia's asking for it?
Yes.
I don't think she is.
She never asked, but she appreciated it. Now it's just like a...
Now it's just a thing.
You know?
But yeah, so it's been a good couple weeks.
Good. Yeah.
Trying to work as little as possible. Got another hair commercial coming up. That's dope. Shooting a movie this weekend. Going to Deathmatch Wrestling this weekend.
Wrestling.
It's going to be some good shit. Good shit.
Nice.
What about you, dude?
Since we last met, we went to Cuyamaca. It wasn't like
you know, what vacation. Just on a whim. Just on a whim, we went out and we had to hike. Hike a mountain.
We just had to hike. We saw a mountain. We're like, you know, I'm going to climb that fucking mountain.
Look, when I see mountains, I see views, I see them, and I'm like, hey, I got to climb that.
You know what?
You know why I got to climb that? Because I can't creep.
Because he's got himself a flag, and he's going to put it at the top of that mountain.
Hey, exactly. when you reach the top of the peak, when you reach that, you know, the highest of the high.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Well, you're right on top of the world, brother. Yeah, doing pretty, just fine here at the top of the world.
It was gorgeous. It was a trail out in Cuyamaca.
You're fucking gorgeous, dude.
Really?
I mean, no, not when you're shaved like that. That's fucking terrifying.
Stop saying that. It looks.
You look like a date rapist.
It looks. Wow. No, you see, no, that's not true.
It's awful. That's not so true. Bad.
You literally said, get inside me when I said it to you a few months ago.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because that beard was.
The beard was.
Now who's double talking?
Yeah. You are double talking. No, you don't need it.
Show me the receipts.
Look.
Show me.
Gavin, dance person. Dance Gavin
that is,
person.
That is my name, is Gavin Dance.
Dance, Bance, Gavin Dance. It was much needed, and that was beautiful. But we also went up to LA with one of the listeners, Dane, and saw Lingua Ignota, which she does this liturgical terror type stuff, and it had like these backgrounds of like Jimmy Swaggart.
She does what?
It's like, you know what liturgy is?
No.
It's when someone's doing a religious performance, like the evangelicals.
Okay.
So she like speaks. Like,
so does that mean there's a bunch of people like flopping around?
Well, that's the energy, but she's like doing a send up of it. She's like creating the same. She's actually identifies as a Catholic, but I think that's more a decision out of like the style of it than anything. But you've never heard her?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like neoclassical noise, a few things. I saw her open.
George pretty much summed it up for me when he said it's the dude from Daughter's ex-girlfriend. I said, oh, so something I'm completely not interested in.
You would not be, it's not your thing.
No.
But if you saw it live, I think you'd think it was fascinating.
I mean, I did do mushrooms over the weekend, so maybe.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy listening by any standard whatsoever. But it was pretty fucking amazing to see. And that was cool. And what else? Oh, I bought more tickets for shows. I'm going to go see Sophia and I are going to go see
so many.
Amon Ra. You know who they are?
Nope.
From Belgium.
They're dope. They do sounds these. like a soup.
And Ramen Ah.
Ramen Ah.
And Liturgy, which is a lady from Brooklyn, is opening. She has a really fucking, like three or four really, it's considered transcendental black metal. Okay. But she's all like hardcore into theology and shit. And she does like some really dope vocals, black metal vocals as a chick.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think you'd like Liturgy.
I'm intrigued. Transcendental black metal sounds pretty dope.
And I'm going to see this dude who's like, one good thing about, please don't lose that butt. I'm going to go see Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick. He's playing in Belgium when I'm going to be there.
Are you going to go see him, dude?
I'm going to Carpenter Brut because it's the same night.
Oh.
Carpenter Brut is dope.
Because it's the same night?
I thought about going to Kendrick Lamar. Like, I told Def, I'm like, yeah, we should go to Kendrick Lamar. And he's like, it's the same night as Carpenter Brut. And I said, oh, well, have fun. I'm going to go to Kendrick just to piss him off. But
Kendrick.
No. Kendrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to Carpenter Brut.
So I was on the fence about it. It's like, yeah, why not go see Kendrick Lamar? That'll be dope. And Carpenter Brut has a new album out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I haven't listened yet.
I did. I mean, I'm not huge into Carpenter Brut, but it's pretty. It's definitely very. It's good Carpenter
lifting music.
Well, because it's so driving, dude.
It is. That's exactly why.
It's very.
Hairspray Hurricane is my PR song, dude. If I ever really just need to fucking feel it, and just get those veins going, dude. Put on some Hairspray Hurricane and just explode. Explosive power, dude.
Dope.
Yeah.
Lingua Ignota, by the way, besides being the ex of that dude from Daughters, she's the guy who outed him. She wrote the
She's big, the guy who outed him?
Yeah. Jesus. She's the did you assume his gender? No, like she's the lady who outed
him. You said idols earlier, by the way.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks.
I mean,
just observing this fucking but she wrote a huge
Yeah, tore him up.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, Any degree of like, oh, okay, are they making something out of it? It's like, no, this is bad. It was bad, dude. It's so bad that, again, I threw away the sweater. Like, I haven't been able to fucking listen to the band. Like, I don't know. It's just completely, it just.
Damn.
It sucks. It fucking fucked up her back. and did all sorts of crazy shit. She had to get surgery, all this stuff.
Did he like suplex her?
Well, that would be dope, right?
Yeah, well, that's why I asked.
No,
she had to get real back surgery.
I got real back surgery, dude. I got the scar to prove it. I got cut open, dude.
Well, it was crazy because when I first saw her, it was with Donovan a few years ago, and she was opening for Daughters. So that was presumably right when she was meeting the dude from Daughters. Now she comes back to the same venue, the Regent, and she's headlining it, and she's fucking dope. It was pretty amazing.
I mean, she was fucking a dope back then, too.
Well, it wasn't just like a clever show. The music
wasn't just the name.
No, they were actually fucked up, as it turns out. And Nick Sadler, the guitarist, is supposedly all fucked up too. So
imagine that.
Well, Gavin Dance.
Yeah.
In my pants.
I'm not the least bit surprised. Like the band that had Johnny Craig, like then hire another guy that's like gonna be a piece of shit. Go figure.
What band do you like that has questionable things?
I guess all of them at some point, right?
Yeah, you look up Led Zeppelin, and that wasn't Jimmy Page shit was not too good with the 13-year-old
The only
girl.
Band that's not problematic is the one you haven't done enough research on.
David Bowie was with the same 13-year-old girl. It's like I fucking told Sophia that. She doesn't want to hear it. You can see her face, the cognitive dissonance, just kind of just shutting it out. Like, no, I'm not going there with this. It sucks.
Mm. I did buy tickets to Modest Mouse and Cake. That's dope.
That is dope.
Gonna go to Portland.
I want to see Cake.
Dude, those tickets are expensive.
Dude.
I saw Cake ages ago at a fucking, what was the 91X Christmas event?
Jingle Balls?
Yeah, like way the fuck in the day.
God damn. I remember those. Those were fun sometimes.
I feel like Cake, it's, you know, bands age, right? But like if he's like 80 and has a beard, that's good because it's Cake.
That's Cake, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like
it's exactly the same.
It's gonna be better and better. Like the older the better. It's
very quirky.
Beard with a fucking boat hat. Hell
yeah, that's dude. The boat hat is
there's
is
no
it's a must.
They're like, see you in 40 years when we're the same.
when we haven't changed a bit. You're welcome.
For real.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've been buying a bunch of. That's all I've been spending money on lately is fucking concert tickets. So many of them. I've got tickets to like Strung Out and Propagandhi and Newfound Glory and Motion City Soundtrack and
Black Midi.
I gotta be honest with you guys. Suga.
He doesn't want it.
I think live shows. I think I'm done. Like really? For the most part.
You don't
yeah.
Have, you know what? You don't have to say that.
I just don't like.
So I'll find somebody to take your Coheed tickets.
No, I'm definitely going to that. But I just don't think like I'm not really like a go into a fucking. I it's got to be a COVID thing because I'm like I don't want to go.
Definitely is a COVID.
I don't want to go into an enclosed space with that many people fucking ever.
Dude, I'm just getting old because like now that I don't drink, if I don't love the band enough to want to be up front like against the guardrail, I'm like, do I really want to go? Like, hence with RX Bandits, it's like, yeah, that's a good show, but if I'm not gonna be fucked up. And, like, I don't know enough, like, words to the songs to, like, want to be up front. Like, why
like,
am I going?
Like, if more shows that I enjoy were, like, at the Rady Shell, I'd be there.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
Regina Spektor's going to be at the Rady Shell.
I think we're getting tickets.
That's dope.
Just because it's fucking, like, a cool thing, like, a cool outdoor thing. But I'm like, Soma comes up, and I'm like, nah.
Well, that's because it's Soma.
Music Box comes up, and I'm like, nah. Anything, I'm not
to Soma, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well. Yes.
Not to Soma once the Morena Valley one closed.
That's a good band. Not to Soma.
Not to Soma.
Nod to Soma.
Nod to Soma.
Yeah.
Dope.
It was dope.
Dope.
So I watched a movie like a month ago that I forgot to mention. It's called Broadcast Signal Intrusion.
Oh, I like that.
It was something I wanted to watch at Telluride, but it was playing at the same time as something else. It's about broadcast signal interruptions, you know, where people hijack the airwaves, like the max headroom thing. And I'm always been fascinated by that shit. Like just people putting like really cryptic, weird shit and like in the middle of television programs. And so this movie is about like this interruption where it shows like this person in like this creepy fucking mask And like this guy starts investigating it, and his wife has turned up missing at some point. I guess turned up missing isn't the right phrase, but ended up missing.
Woke up dead.
And yeah, see, so like this weird fucking Melted Mask kind of thing, and he starts investigating it.
That's my favorite
like,
ska band, actually, Melted Mask.
Dude, that would be a dope name for a ska band.
That's
an
album name.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's basically like Hunt a Killer, but in a movie. And the ending gets a little fucky. I don't quite understand the ending, but like I did enjoy the movie because I really like the, you know, deep dives and like solving puzzles kind of shit. So I watched that and I started watching The Boys.
From season one?
Yeah.
Man, that fucking opening scene. Well, not the opening scene, but like.
The, yeah, the first scene. 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's so good.
So I had tried to start watching it with Alia when it came out, and there's a sexual assault in the first episode.
Boy, howdy is there.
And she was very turned off by the whole thing, and so we just stopped watching it.
That's a tough, it's a tough like scene to watch.
Yeah. But men. Now,
the with, boy. Men again.
With
men
season again. Three coming out, yeah, my girlfriend, I can say that now. She wants to watch season three, but since I haven't seen the first two, she's like, well, I could use a refresher if you want to watch them. And we're like 5 or 6 episodes through the first season, and it's dope. I kind of dislike all of the characters besides Frenchie. It's fucking Blackhawks, dude. They're coming for us. They finally heard all my fucking my conspiracy theories.
Your and
they're
shit like, takes he knows on everything.
He knows too much, dude. Too much, too much.
No, last week was rough. With there was a lot of things mentioned back to back.
Was there?
I think that's why they're here tonight.
What about India and the shit river?
Not just India, shooting up an airport, all sorts of shit.
Oh yeah, we're talking about Modern Warfare.
It went bad.
I was like, what were we talking about? Shooting up an airport? But yeah, Modern Warfare. As far as I know, that's all I've seen. Besides tonight's film.
More Dead by Daylight.
More Dead by Daylight. A little bit of Fork Knife. Mm-hmm. Now that I've seen that the Quarry.
The Quarry.
And, and I know that it's the same creators as Until Dawn. I think I might play that.
So from what I understand, it is less like Until Dawn and more like... what's the second one?
There was a second one?
There's been four.
Oh, shit. I was unaware.
Yeah.
I knew of Until Dawn, and I was always waiting for them to do another game that was like that, and I just never knew they actually did one.
Hold it. Supermassive Games. That's it. They have done...
Supermassive Black Hole.
Supermassive. So it's Until Dawn, the Dark Pictures Anthology. And there's another one that's like a Egyptian one that is pretty fucking wild that I watched. Man of Medan, Little Hope, House of Ashes, and The Devil in the Head.
So I heard of Man of Medan, but like I heard really mixed and leaning towards negative things.
Yeah, Man of Medan, from what I watched, because I'm not going to fucking play that game, was kind of silly, but I heard House of Ashes was really like...
I haven't heard of that one. House Maybe I'll look really into that well one.
But yeah, it's the newest
game
in the series, I guess. No, because it's not like it's a sequel, but it's in the same series of games. I guess I'd call it. Looks interesting.
Yeah, so I'll probably play that. And then Maneater is free on Epic right now, so I'll finally play that. Because that's the one with the shark.
It's the Hall & Oates.
Like, yeah. She's a Maneater. Yeah.
Oh, there she comes.
Watch out, boy. Shoot
you. That's not even the best Hall & Oates song, though.
No, it's Private Eye.
Fuck yeah, it's Private Eye.
I don't know if I know that one.
Private Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
She's watching you. Watching your every move. Private Eyes. Watching you. Private Eyes. They're watching you, watching you, watching you.
Yeah. We went from... We skipped the 90s and went to Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's fine, I guess.
We can do whatever the fuck we want, dude.
You play with words. So good.
And I like Heart of Rock and... Oh, no, that's Huey Lewis. Never mind. I like that song better than fucking... Now I'm just going to Huey Lewis now.
Yeah, dude, happy to be stuck with you. That's a dope song.
All right, what'd you watch?
This dash cam movie, you guys. Okay, so
Wait, are you going to talk about this? Because you were trying to get us to okay, do
I'm
not, this.
I'm just going
to
talk okay, about it. I'm just okay. going to... Rob Savage, a lot of the listeners know about it. Definitely a lot of the Discord people have already watched it. A thing happened where a few of us watched it. But it's the guy who directed Host. Remember that movie, Jorge?
Yes.
Now, the premise of this, to simplify things, at the start of the pandemic, an indulgent and self-deluded live-streaming improv musician abandons L.A. for London, steals her ex-bandmate's car, and makes the wrong decision to give a ride to an elderly woman who is not what she seems. So this live streamer, at the beginning of the pandemic, is bitching about masks and is saying that COVID's a hoax the whole time and wears a MAGA hat. So, in other words, we have to do this movie. And I can't say anything else if we're doing it.
Okay.
And I'll just leave that there.
All right.
It's as...
I'm just going to drop that right there.
It's
gonna,
what it sounds like. I'm
just going to drop that load real good right there.
It does currently stand at a 4.8
That's awesome.
Out of 10
That's
on
IMDb.
I'm in.
Which is not our opinion, but some opinions. And then I saw Crimes of the Future, which is David Cronenberg's new movie. I shall say nothing because apparently we're going to be doing that next
apparently.
Week. Right, next week.
I think so, yeah.
And it's hard not to say anything, but I'm kind of like worried about how that's going to fucking go. Because, wow, I don't know how this is going to go with you guys.
You already saw it?
Fuck yeah, I saw it. Dude, like, I'm not going to wait to watch the new Cronenberg. Fuck!
What'd you think of that?
The new Cronenberg?
I can't say what I thought. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. It fucking sucked. Cronenberg fucking sucks.
Washed up idiot.
Even if Cronenberg sucked, it still wouldn't suck. So, like, for you it would, but not for me. So, I mean, that's
barely. Yeah, Cronenberg's got to be good for me to like it.
Cronenberg.
It just has to be Cronenberg.
Cronenberg.
He has to do his thing, and he does his thing.
Okay, all right.
Fire Island.
The gay movie.
Hell yeah.
The gay movie. It's so gay, bro.
Gay dudes on an island. Fucking falling in love, rom-com. Dope.
Oh, it's a rom-com I'm in.
I thought it was another fucking documentary about fucking...
I showed that to Sophia. I hadn't written it down here, but dude, I watched it again. I love that fucking documentary.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Fire Fest? Fire
Festival. Just one. Showing the failure of man and ambition.
That's fraud.
Yeah. And so, well, I wouldn't call it fraud. I'd call it false advertising. Yeah, Ja Rule. It's like, oh, we got Ja Rule. Like, who cares?
Who the fuck is Ja Rule?
What is this, 1999?
Dude, it's crazy. Dude. Netflix has a...
Murder!
Netflix has a new film called Interceptor. It was like the number one movie on Netflix. It's bad.
Unfortunately, yeah. Okay.
It's fucking hilarious. Dude, Jorge, you gotta... This is a Jorge movie.
Okay.
So it's nuclear war. Russia's... is gonna shoot nukes, and so there's this thing.
So real life then.
There's an interceptor base, so like propaganda. Like, oh, did you make this before? Oh, weird how that worked. But anyway, now I sound like Matt, right?
You do sound like
okay. Matt. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. I never closed my ideas to the CIA being involved in making entertainment because they are. So anyway, interceptor. He's though,
like, I wouldn't even go that far, dude.
They are like fucking.
No, I'm talking about
nothing they do is entertaining.
They
dude.
Said that they fucking took full control of at least 3,000 movies. Like as soon as you use any military stuff, they're like, let us see your whole script, and then they're like, okay, like that Top Gun was made that way, and it's fantastic propaganda. Anyway, what the hell was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, there's a fucking interceptor base in the middle of the ocean. That's gonna intercept fucking missiles. Hold up, we'll get to that in a minute. But there's this fucking lady in it. There's this lady in it, dude. She's a Spanish actress. She used to be a model, right? And it's like, why the fuck is she in this? And there comes a clue. There's a cameo from Chris Hemsworth. And it's like, why is he in this? And then you look at the executive producer. It's Chris Hemsworth. And then you realize, oh, this is his wife. So he put his wife as the main character in this movie. She can't act for
that's
shit.
A bad ass.
Wait, are we talking about a Rob Zombie movie again?
It's kind of like, what was that fucking one with a guy who
Neil
did,
Marshall?
Yes, it's that, but with Crims Hemsworth.
With
Crims Messworth. And putting his Spanish wife. Dude, it's fucking, It's crazy.
Methsworth.
Because she, it's like her line Crim's delivery.
Crim's Methsworth.
Crim's Methsworth fucking is really on his way out. I kind of like that name. But
Crim's
I highly recommend that movie. It is constantly fucking funny. And Sophia was like mad. And I'm like, what's wrong? Like, this is the one this year. You should get behind this. But she was just mad.
She was just mad.
Because it was too rah-rah, you know? Like, go America. Which is what we need right now, right? This is
exactly what we need.
Does she not know what country we live in?
And then there's a new Jurassic film. And it's
Jurassic. I've heard it's so bad.
Yeah, so have I. And I've been wanting to see it. And so we didn't get to see it this weekend. But I did want to watch the original. My idea was to watch the original and then go straight into part six. Because I wanted to have that experience.
Jesus.
But the original is still the original. And Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Again, hi, Sophia.
Second time.
Had not ever watched it together, and she loves that movie, you know, as people do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm eager to go see this new piece of shit. And I know I haven't seen it, so maybe that's closed-minded, but there haven't been any good Jurassic Park sequels.
Lost World was okay.
Yeah, Lost World was okay.
And then they just get worse from there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, watch Jurassic Park. Oh, and I've really been like Jim Jones docuseries on Sundance. It's fucking great. So I'm learning all about Jim Jones. And then they have this one about fundamentalist Mormons. Keep Sweet.
You're really going. You're really doing it.
I'm in the fucking thing with this mass belief thing. Yeah, it's like really going down a thing right now. But this docuseries, Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey on Netflix, very comprehensive and very upsetting. And it's like 4 episodes. And yeah, everyone knows that this is fucked up. Like, no, it's like, it's bad.
All right.
Worse than I thought. And that's what we watched.
Nice. That's I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Thanks. Does Matt like it, though?
It was very acceptable.
Unacceptable.
Are you taking video over there?
I did.
Can I see it?
It's on Instagram.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
I can't
god.
Get on it.
You can't even prep, dude. You can't. Well, it's on the one.
Yeah, it's on the Who Goes There one.
You can't even like do multiple takes.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm just gonna like you know engage the audience, dude, and just you know create content.
Uh oh!
Wow. Ask yes or no questions.
Hey, has anybody seen a movie?
Hey.
Any movie?
What movie?
Any of them.
What did you watch?
Yeah, what have you seen? I watched 12 seasons of Survivor.
47 seasons of Survivor.
Are you still watching that?
I'm rewatching The Walking Dead.
No, actually, so I feel like I got hard-on collided. So Ronnie was telling me about this show about a bunch of teenage girls that got stranded on an island, and it's like it's more than you think it what it is. And I go, it's Yellow Jackets. And she's like, no, it predates Yellow Jackets by like 2 years. I go, what the fuck? What the fuck? So we started watching this show called The Wilds. It's fucking bonkers, dude. So it's The Wilds. So it's fucking crazy. So it's a bunch of kids that are on this like retreat to go to Hawaii because their parents think they need a vacation.
Oh, it's Fantasy Island.
Some counseling, whatever the fuck.
It's Lord of the Flies.
It's Lord of the Flies, except, and here's the big twist that comes in like the first episode, it's all planned, dude.
Oh, so it's Fantasy Island.
And there's like surveillance and there's people in control.
It's Squid Game.
Oh, it's kids. Escape Room.
Oh, so it's real life.
It's real life, dude. So
the adrenochrome.
I go, there's no way this show's good.
That's why the Blackhawks
are out
there.
It says it's good. So what the fuck is this?
So I go. There's no way this show is good because just from the outset of it, I go, nah, this is a shitty idea for a fucking show. It's whatever. And yet, I cannot stop watching.
Well, imagine that.
So they just released season 3, I believe, and we're about halfway through season 2, and I'm like, you know what? Let's stop recording so I can go watch what happens with these teenage girls and these teenage boys on this fucking island. It's crazy.
You're just watching teenagers smash.
Well, this person says that it's not as hardcore as Yellow Jackets, but it's actually more zany.
It is. Like it's crazy. It's fucking nuts, dude. Like there's this like mastermind like lady who's in charge of everything. And like at one point she checks into like a mental facility and you're like, oh dude, how's she gonna get out of this? And it's like she had the whole thing planned the entire time. Mm. She wanted to get in to talk to the doctor to get him into the program. It's like, oh, you've done it. It's
I hate that shit.
They fucking got you, dude.
Crazy. Like wall-to-wall insanity. There's this one character who does, like, the main girl character on the island, the main teenage girl, who does stuff that even at ultra levels of neurosis, you would still not believe that a real human would do. Oh. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. And, like, every character is a caricature of real life. Like, the gay character is so incredibly gay that it's
fuck!
Like, It's bonkers. I don't recommend it, but like.
But you recommend.
But it. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna finish it.
I don't recommend it, but I'm gonna finish it.
Yep,
that's a good. That's a soft sell right there.
Well, and welcome.
No, that's how it works. People are like, okay, I'll watch it now because he's not recommending it.
Welcome to the entirety of my brain.
Yeah.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Maybe I'll watch it.
Well, speaking of that,
I mean, I still haven't watched Yellow Jacket.
Can I read you a letter I got from our listener in Germany? One of our listeners in Germany.
No. I don't.
More Franz?
No, no more letters from listeners.
Why don't
dude?
You just go to Germany and make out with him already, dude?
Listen to the Germans.
I can't handle any more letters from any more listeners because I've been beat up.
No, you not like what? That. Yeah. Not like that.
It's like you got real incel energy.
I've gotten my ass kicked. Not even that this person was correct, but I'm just like, I have been beat up by listeners' comments. So what could it possibly be that will change my mind?
No, this is more like rep propaganda.
So I'm gonna. So hate
you
it.
Definitely don't want to hear
I'm
it.
I'm gonna hate it.
So Franz, yeah, in the Germany says. So I watched Ah at the cinema, the Indian film RRR. It just played for 1 day limited run. And the theater was packed with members of the Indian community.
Oh, you couldn't commit to the accent, huh?
And shit got wild. Probably the best movie-going experience I've ever had. They were shooting confetti guns. The front row did this dance choreography. And it was screaming, shouting, clapping all the way through. So I was glad for the subtitles. That crazy film would also work without sound. The only thing that didn't happen was people starting to fuck. They fuck. Great stuff. 3 hours felt like 3 minutes. So you can tell Matt he is so wrong by not watching it.
Oh, look at how much I care.
It's not just for you.
It literally said, you can tell Matt.
You think Goku cares about a 3.5 hour movie?
I'm mentioning it on the show for
Do
anyone?
I gotta go Super Saiyan on this fucking Kraut?
Don't talk about him that
do
way.
Do I gotta go sour
you know
on
how
this
beautiful?
Do I gotta get
been?
Sour on this
Ever
Kraut?
Ever since the bad times, they've really turned themselves around.
The bad times.
The bad times.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. Now, I mean, you're eager to go back to that, but they have ran the other way.
Says the guy with the shaved head.
What?
And
I'm
the,
bald.
And the little Hitler mustache.
I'm bald too, you son of a bitch.
You're Mexican, it's different. He's white.
You don't think there's fucking Mexican Nazis?
I mean,
Tio
sure
Tomas.
There sure there is.
Yeah, of course. Well, and also is. The Mexican Nazis aren't as useful as the Tio Tomas. Because there's more Tio Tomas.
We infiltrate
around.
A lot better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they don't know they're doing anything to help the fucking stuff. They're just like being centrists. Like, oh yeah, come on in. Oh, wait a minute. See?
Yeah.
It's too late.
Well, you know what? If he loves India so much, dude, like go back to India.
I just, you know what?
From Germany.
So I appreciate Franz. And that movie is great. And I won't be happy till it's overexposed and Indian culture is everywhere and I'm sick of it. And I wade through a river of shit.
I mean, you're trying to do that.
No more.
You're literally trying.
No more listener letters, please.
Okay. It was great.
Any news we should get to, gentlemen?
BTS is going on hiatus.
Well, that's
sad.
Is it?
I mean, it's about time for them, dude. They've been doing it for a decade.
And it's not the first
hiatus
they've been.
They deserve a break.
And
releasing that career retrospective record, though, that's a little concerning. But
well, they want to go do solo careers, correct?
That's what they say. But they all have to join the army anyway. Like, it's a thing in Korea where, like, you have to join the army for, I think, 2 years. And they've already had their service pushed back like 5 years because they make more money for Korea than like anything else. Yeah. So,
but now they're like, you still have to do the army.
Yeah, no, they have to. They still have to. It's everyone.
Wow. The Last of Us filming wrapped. It's
with Pablo Pascal.
And then this is Jose Quesaron. But it's HBO Max and it's high budget. So I have hopes just based upon production values.
Yeah. I mean, The Last of Us needed a series to be able to breathe. I think that's the only way that this would make sense. Matt, what do you think?
What do you think?
What did you say?
Now you guys can, we can get Matt. No, I don't want to get Matt. The Last of Us.
I heard that it's rapping. I didn't hear what George said.
What do you think? What do you think about the show? HBO Max, it's very well.
I am indifferent. I liked the first game quite a bit. The second game, I thought just fucking dragged, and I didn't really care where the story went. Well, you're in luck.
It's about the first movie then.
It's about the first movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to start at the beginning.
So does that quell your fears cautiously at all? Cautiously
optimist. I mean, if it's like anything else, I'm not going to end up watching it.
They're
going to
get halfway through the first book, which is halfway.
look.
Inside joke.
I'll be like, it ends very abruptly, like halfway through the half part of the first movie.
It's going to feel like half of a story.
Half of a chapter of half of a game.
It's almost like the game abruptly ended at the end.
Yep.
And they just, where do they go from there?
That's some bullshit.
Fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably won't watch it because I don't watch anything, so.
That's not true.
By and large, it's true. I still haven't seen Yellow Jackets, despite how many people have told me to watch Yellow Jackets.
Well, you still got time. Like, season 2 will come on later this year, hopefully, in the fall or winter. And then you can just catch up right then.
They just announced Squid Game season 2.
All we have to do is infiltrate the girlfriend.
She's already told me to watch it. And so I was like, watch. Now I'm going to watch it. And then George and Red are going to be like, we told you for months. And now
I don't fuck like that. I don't give a fuck if somebody else gets you to drink the Kool-Aid or the Flavor-Aid, as long as you're slurping it up.
Exactly. That's Jim Jones.
Bro, I've been slurping it up plenty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what he did. It's bringing it back.
So what podcast. I'd like to do is we're gonna infiltrate.
I don't like professional anything.
That's not true. You are a professional.
You came over here wearing a tie several times. Even when I try to get you to take it off, you're like, no.
It's my disguise.
Isn't that scary?
That you love it so much? Yeah, it is.
I do though, but not for the reasons you would think.
Well, you know what? At least you wear like nice shoes with your suit jacket and your button-up shirt, you know, as opposed to tennis shoes where you look like a total asshole.
That's what my program manager does.
Total asshole.
He wears fucking Chucks to court.
If
I'm like, what are you doing?
If you wear like a suit jacket and a button-up shirt with fucking tennis shoes, out.
Why?
Because it's a goofy...
Like, I don't like it, but I'm not that it's I'm a not goofy, that pissed about
it's
it.
A goofy-ass thing to do.
How do you feel about flip-flops?
Kick rocks in them. Well, as long as you're not wearing...
Right there, Air Jesus's, bro.
You wouldn't take the picture with your feet facing forward like that and showing your little toes.
I have not seen the photo that you're referring to.
Well, you will.
I will.
On the break.
I'll wear these shits all day, every day. I live in flip-flops. Foot prisons can get fucked.
I'm seeing...
They can get fucked. Fucked.
Fuck!
All right. Well, we'll be right back. Talk about a film. Okay. Bye. Oh, man. I don't have any more energy to record the rest of the show. I'm fucking gassed, dude.
Dude, do you follow our thought beatdowns?
What?
Our thought beatdowns?
No.
There's some wild shit on there.
Tell us all about it.
Thoughts getting beaten down, bro.
After the show.
Well, alrighty then. Guess what, Matt?
Oh, that bitch threw a chair. That's what's up.
We're back? We're fucking back, dude.
Yeah.
God damn. I've got all the hate. All the hate has escaped my body now.
Has it?
So I'm good for the moment. But it's like a coffee. It's like a coffee drip. It's going to fucking fill back up.
Did you need hate to review this movie?
No, not this, but during the break. Oh, I've released the hate.
You might not even need hate for the rest of the show. We'll see.
Hey, Matt, tell me about Patreon.
Well, you know, there's a good chance that you like various flavors of sports ball. And if you do, then you know that sports ball is better with peanuts. In this case, horror is the sports ball, and who goes there is the peanuts. So you could just, you know, put the peanut in your mouth like as it is, or you could crack it open and get to the goodness. And that's what Patreon is. You really got to crack open the show and get to the inner workings of it to fully enjoy how salty it actually is. So if you go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and crack open your wallet, throw down a couple of bucks to further enjoy your sports ball flavor.
Crack that ass. Guess what?
We'll crack that ass. You'll get exclusive content. You'll get bonus episodes.
Sometimes.
Bonus. You'll get exclusive merchandise. And you'll really get to experience the salt. Like, just the pure, unadulterated salt.
Saltiness.
Of this fucking peanut called the Who Goes There podcast. So go to Who Goes There podcast on patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and give us your fucking money.
I feel like the CIA really is trying to infiltrate the show because our newest Patreon, their name is John White. That's not a real fucking name.
So he's a fucking white guy.
He's a fucking narc.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah. So anywho, welcome John White.
Yeah,
welcome. If that is your real name.
Air quotes, John White.
Yeah.
Welcome, CIA.
Yeah.
Just like my name is Matt Smith.
Is this thing on?
Just like names are naming anything, and it's not just some like etheric vapor hovering around nothingness.
Well, thank you for the support, John. We'll see you on Discord, maybe.
Enjoy the salt.
Damn, you almost fucking dumped it all over your phone,
brother. All over the laptop, too, buddy.
I want to say something about your Patreon pitch.
What was that?
Brother? That was beautiful.
Yeah. Brother. Hey, brother, sometimes you hit it, and sometimes you hit it out of the park. That time,
you hit it out of the
park. Out of the park.
Right out of the motherfucking park.
Yeah. It's fucking sports ball, brother.
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2021's The Innocents, directed by Eskil, I can't even, Vought.
Vought,
I guess. Written also by Eskil Vought. Starring a bunch of Scandinavian fucks who cannot pronounce their names. I'm not even going to try.
Raquel.
Oh, he can do all the Asian names, but the Swedish names are too white for him. He's like,
why don't you try it out?
No, this is Alva Brinsmo Rammstein. Ellen. There's an Ellen and a Morton and a Lisa.
Well, that's
and an Irina.
Yeah,
what do you Irina.
You can do this.
And a Sam.
I like that he makes them all Italian.
Irina.
And a Sam.
I'm a Sam. The synopsis for this film is as such. During the bright Nordic summer, a group of children reveal their dark and mysterious powers when the adults aren't looking. In this original and gripping supernatural thriller, playtime takes a dangerous turn. Ooh, dangerous. Hey, Rhett.
Yes.
What'd you think of The Innocents, my man?
I hated it. Just kidding. I didn't hate it. I've been wanting to see this since last year. I heard about it, and then people were seeing it on festival things they were doing online and going to in person, and it was very well received. A bunch of fuckers who listened to the show and are on our Discord pirated it, and I swore I wouldn't be pirating it, and I didn't because I have no balls. And I watched it, and I really liked this movie.
Okay.
I think... the atmosphere is very strong. I think the child performances are very strong. I appreciated what it's doing, and I am about 45 minutes into this movie, I'm like, oh God, this is gonna happen. And Sophia's like, what? I'm like, a shitty American remake where they have the powers and it's stupid and we have a big fucking climax and all that. I think there's a lot of understated stuff here. I think it says a lot about how children discover morality and how, I mean, the name is very evocative. Like it leads you to a certain place with it. It showed stuff about family dynamics. I thought it was really effective with all that. And I also thought there was a few really kind of unsettling parts. There's one part that's very upsetting if you're an animal person, I thought. I'm not saying the movie's like brutal or something, but that came out of nowhere for me. And that being said, it is glacially paced. Like, it moves very deliberately and very slowly. But I say deliberately because it's not slow because it's not doing anything. It's just moving at that pace. And I also kind of feel narratively, usually that doesn't bug me all the time, but the story here, there could be kind of more to be driving the story narratively. I think the plot's fine as far as what, you know, events occurring that cause other events to happen, but story, there's not much there. But then again, it's from the children's perspective. And so, yeah, I respect the movie. I want it to be like one of my favorite of the year. I don't think that's going to be occurring, but I really appreciate the atmosphere and the understatedness of it. And these moments, though, that are very effective that come out of nowhere. Okay. And just
cool.
Speaking
broadly. Yeah, so I think it is about 45 minutes too long. There are some plotting moments, but I think overall I really enjoyed it. It was skewing real close to Annoying Kid movie number 7,000 right at the beginning. But boy, it rescued it. Right at the beginning, I was like, oh, I hate these two kids. I hate them. And not because they're bad, like bad people. I almost couldn't handle the annoyance of
that. I watched them like, he hates kids. He's gonna hate this. He has kids already. He hates this.
Yeah, well, that's generally how I feel about kids movies. Is that if they're going to be annoying, I'm gonna dip out really quickly because I already have annoying fucking kids. I don't need to see them on display in film. It's fine. I'll move along. It's okay. But yeah. I think the performances from these kids are excellent. I think a little bit has to do more with the fact that it's a foreign language film, and like the you don't quite get the annoyance if it was.
I also think the temperament is different though than the American stupid one, which we like. If and we see,
it's inevitable.
We will see it.
Yeah,
and they're going to be much more cloying because American children generally probably are a lot more cloying and obnoxious.
Maybe that's it. But yeah, there's some good stuff. There's some
like me
definite disturbing, you know, some disturbing moments going on. But overall, I quite liked it. And we will discuss the finer points. Matthew.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Gripping and original are two words I would not use to describe this movie. I wish I would have pirated this movie because this is $7 and 2 hours of my life I will not get back. This dollar store Brightburn almost pissed me off with how slow...
See, he wants the American version.
How slow and irritating it was. I just didn't give a fuck. I hate that like anything even remotely disturbing happens and it's a horror movie. Like this is not a fucking horror movie. This is a horrible movie is what this is. I'm laying
on my... Now you're doing like that alliteration
thing. I'm laying on my floor watching this movie trying not to fall asleep.
Well, you're laying on like, your floor.
Maybe that's your problem. I couldn't hold my weight up anymore because this movie just bogged down on me. It was 45 minutes too long. It was arguably an hour and 45 minutes too long. Like I
can't believe you're fucking going this hard on this movie. I did not give
a shit. I text George through this movie. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like this fucking movie. Can we like not do movies that you hear about from the festival circuit anymore? Because I tend to like not like any of those movies. This movie, I just...
They're in the conversation.
So you were... I was
out. I was full on out. Yeah. I was like, I liked it more when it was The Good Son. I liked it more when it was Brightburn. I liked it more when it was anything not... And I didn't like Brightburn. So for me to say I liked Brightburn more than this, that's saying something.
I think you're looking again at premise and not the film.
No, I looked at the film. And it's weird
because you're shooting movies.
Trust me, I looked at all hour and 50-something minutes of this film.
So this has no recollection of Brightburn at all.
Kids with powers.
That's what I'm saying. That's a premise.
Obnoxious kids with powers. Like, I didn't care.
You can like, take, that's all kids, though.
I didn't care. I didn't root for any of these kids. Like, that's not true. The girl with vitiligo or whatever, I felt bad for her.
Dude, from the moment I saw her and her first power, so to speak, I was like, oh, she's a goner.
Yeah,
because I kind of I'm not gonna say like, oh, I knew every beat of the movie going, you know, from for the first minute, but you know when
you do,
when I kind of saw where
I had no, I didn't know
where you know where the two kids were kind of like heading in the beginning, and you see Ben is his name. Ben?
Yeah.
Ben? Well, you see Ben kind of like push the envelope a little bit harder. I go, oh, the little Indian girl, she's a fucking goner. There's no way she's making it out of this.
As soon as Ben like showed that he was a bit of a psychopath, I'm like, the autistic girl is going to be the one that saves the day. She's going to be like the I knew she was going to be the super strong one, because what else are they going to do with her? She's not just going to sit there and grunt through the entire movie. Like,
well, that's,
she was going
it's
to be
not just about that.
She
though.
Was, but you knew from the beginning she was going to be the one that basically like solved the big evil.
Okay, so that's a good entry point into the broader discussion between the three of us, I guess. So I didn't know that, and I didn't want to know that. Right. What I did appreciate is that with the autistic girl, it says a lot about communication and connection, and that was evident.
I thought the actress did a fantastic job with you know, like the nonverbal communication stuff in the beginning. I thought, you know, she's doing really well, and I don't know if the actress herself is nonverbal, but she does speak
well. It's such a good job that I'm not sure if she's autistic and acting or acting autistic, and that's kind of a good sign. Now, this is
how do you of all people not know that?
I do know that it's good either way, because we talked about the Predator that has an autistic kid and he's a tech genius and can open alien spaceships. This autistic person is highly inward, like, right? She has problems with, she's autistic. And it's like, okay, the fact that I loved, by the way, sure, I get what you're saying, like how it's contrived in the sense, like, what else are they going to do with her? Because it's also about the communication between her and the sister and the mother. And the triangulation there, which I know you don't give a fuck about, but I see those dynamics are there and all that kind of stuff. But also, I liked what it was saying, because an autistic person, autistic people aren't stupid. That's the thing. It has to do with our rubrics of intelligence, right? Like, autistic people are highly, highly, like, interior. They're very interior. They're on their own trip. They don't have very, and it's different. Each person's different. She's very not verbal. She has a big freaking issue being able to express herself according to how the other humans around her express themselves. But like, to the point where it shows the cruelty that's innate to people, like they pinch her. Why? Because she's not having a reaction. So it means you can just hurt her over and over again. But internally, she's hurting. But it's just not registering the same way socially. And that's like, you know, I think all of that stuff is very thought-provoking. Like, I thought that stuff was good. So I don't know. While you're kind of having this, you're having this surface thing. What else are they going to do with the autistic girl? I appreciated they selected an autistic person as a character. And also, like you guys mentioned, the other girl, what's the name of the skin disease? I don't know the name of that.
Vitiligo.
Yeah, having that, it's like, this is, again, this is the anti-American version. Why I say that is because it's not getting beautiful, perfect children. It's getting the autistic kid. It's getting a girl with a skin disease. It's also still multicultural, even though it's from Sweden. And I really take issue with you saying it's not a horror movie. Like,
I don't think it is.
Well, when a mom stabs her child because she's momentarily possessed, and then she sees like her child holding a stuffed bunny rabbit as a dead bunny, like that's horror. Like, all of that's horror. When a kid gets telekinesis to snap his fucking leg on a basketball court, that's horror.
It's just not overt, I think, is I think is Matt's frustration, is it is not like
a mom stabbing her child is for supernatural reasons is horror.
I
would check enough boxes.
You know what, you brought up that, you know, we've got a multicultural cast. I also do like the fact that it does, and I don't want to go too far down the road, but I do think it explores certain issues with immigration. You know, with like,
are you woke,
sort of,
dude?
Like fish out of water families in an environment that they're not used to,
for sure.
Because,
well, yeah, and that had to be intentional, right?
Yeah. And so you know, I don't think it was a mistake, and I think it's very well done, because you know they're showing two different families that are not uncomfortable in this society, but obviously have moved into the society and trying to integrate.
Right.
And that, you know, this kid...
This don't they have, like, white nationalists there telling them they shouldn't be there? Oh, wait, no. Vikings don't do that.
God, did you see that shit that happened in Coeur d'Alene the last couple days?
I don't fucking think I did.
These fucking assholes in, like, ski masks rolled up in a U-Haul van, U-Haul truck. No, during like a pride rally, it's fucking yeah, it's crazy.
Oh wait, yes they did. They were all fucking arrested, and they all had like matching outfits.
They're
like the Proud Boys, but some other fucking group.
Proud Boys, but way lamer somehow.
Yeah,
but yeah. So I didn't mind when it was slow. I just minded when it was plotting. I think there are.
I felt the whole thing was plotting, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could definitely see.
Well, it moves deliberately, and that's my way of saying it. Yes, it moves not at the Western pace, and not it's you know.
I mean, I don't need the raid. I don't need like action by the barrel. You wanted
X Men First Class.
I just wanted something like even when things are happening.
You like the happening New Mutants?
Slow. No. Oh yeah, I did. I thought there was good parts of New Mutants.
That's it.
But First Class was dope.
First Class was dope. We are all in agreement with Matthew Vaughn's First Class being dope. But yeah, I'm bummed. I got to tell you.
You thought I was going to like this?
You liked Lose. It makes no sense.
This was nowhere near a movie that I liked. At all. There was nothing I
didn't
think
you. I didn't know, and I never know.
The part with the cat was fucked.
Like sometimes I know, but with these kind of things, I never know.
I was pretty sure that Matt. I'm repeating myself a fuckload tonight. Good God,
it's okay.
I was pretty sure that Matt was not going to enjoy the film, but I did have hopes that there was at least enough in there for him to like say, "Hey, I didn't like the movie, but these things were good."
Well, what do you besides your feelings about it, what do you think about other things, like the acting?
I mean, it was fine. They're children. Like, I thought that main kid was super creepy, and her smile just is going to haunt my dreams for months to come.
That smile was very effective. It's like they knew they had a good tool there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the kid's acting was good, fine. I don't know. Like, honestly, watching this movie, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say about this movie. Because, like, I had to work to get through the movie. Mm. Like, I don't have to do that often. This, I had so many instances where I'm like, I just want to turn this off and phone it in. Like, that's how I felt watching this movie.
I mean, I can't argue with it because that's how you feel about it. But, I mean, I guess...
But you thought the kids did a good job to go back to.
I mean, okay. For them, I mean, because they're what, like 10 to 14 years old,
did probably? Did you think it was like, well shot?
I didn't think there was anything that stood out where it's like, wow, that's a really gorgeous shot or that's a really comprised scene.
Like, I liked it because this is the kind of... You hear the word pretentious thrown around and I think people throw the word around pretentiously because they don't know what they're saying, which is... Ironically, that's pretentious because you're pretending to know what the fuck you're talking about by saying pretentious. This movie, though, seemed very unpretentious to me. Like, it was well shot, but it's understated. Like, it's not trying to be, you know, it's not giving you some big, huge, flashy shots and all that. And it's like, it's one where I kind of forget about the camera for a while, but it's shot really well. And then it kind of started doing that thing where... When they were having like the camera roam around like in between the buildings and it was upside down and it had the fog,
mm-hmm.
That was used in the new Candyman too, and that was if you recall, and that was a very effective thing, I thought.
And I really did enjoy the progression of, you know, their learning of how to use the powers. It didn't feel inorganic to me. I think that it seemed like. Like they were going through like pre-puberty where they were kind of.
I mean, it didn't feel inorganic because they spent so much fucking time doing it.
Though. Yeah, well, that dude, like, that's why I gotta agree with Jorge. Like, there's no special effects. I mean, there are, but it's more about like she's drawing a shark and it's showing you. It's show don't tell. They're showing you that they're connected mentally through a very
understated, simple thing that the adults wouldn't be, they wouldn't have a clue what was going on right under their nose. And that's like a cool way to move plot forward and to communicate what's going on visually. It's doing that visually. And like, you know, that whole motif, like the freaking autistic kid, she's got the, what's that called? The Etch-a-Sketch. Mm-hmm. And she's like channeling, you know, she's channeling with the Etch-a-Sketch. Because objectively, an Etch-a-Sketch is no different than a Ouija board or the fucking, or the Oracle in Midsommar scrying. She just
wasn't able to focus it, which is
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if it's a toy or a fucking anything like that. So I liked that, and I picked up on little motifs like the blank slate, you know, because she would fucking like start it over.
Well, but the idea too that, you know, for the two sisters, right? Like when you have a sibling that is nonverbal, non-communicative, and is essentially like, for lack of a better word, is an object in your life, right?
Yeah.
That's why she becomes sort of desensitized to like pinching her sister as hard as she can and putting fucking glass in her shoes because like she's not a real person to her.
Right.
There's no communication there. So like I really,
the distance between them is like the distance between planets.
Yeah, it's gigantic.
Well, see, I didn't get that. I got that it was resentment. Like I thought she resented her sister because like her sister gets all of the parents' attention, you know, they're doing everything for the sister. So she's just the one that is verbal is just kind of there.
Yeah, but
she's kind of an afterthought to like the one that needs the attention.
I agree.
Those are connected.
I agree.
You know, so like I don't think like the pinching and stuff was because like she doesn't like get a reaction out of her. I think she was doing it because like she's upset with her. She's angry at her. She secretly like not hates her because you see that she cares about her at some point later. But until, you know, her sister starts to show some signs of like being a person, it feels like she hates her. And I know that sounds weird, like signs of being
a person, you know what I mean?
Like when she starts communicating with the other girl and starts playing and starts expressing herself a little bit, you know, like.
See, I think all of that stuff is there and they don't explain that verbally, which to me means the film is doing a good job because it's show don't tell. It's not explaining like the shit, like, because we know she resents her. You know, later on when like the other sister tries to tell the mom, hey, she's getting better. And the mom's like, I don't want to hear it. And the first thing I thought about was like, I don't want to get all clinical, but like the family unit is the way it is and it's used to being that way. And if you're going to disrupt that, it's like, don't disrupt the stasis. And like, she's doing that. And she's like, oh, don't play. That's not funny. And she goes back to being a bitch to her fucking kid again. And later on, when she sees that the autistic kid is communicating better, she doesn't go incorporate the other sister who told her about this. She doesn't go validate her. She doesn't give her props. And the other sister's like, yeah, that's what I fucking told you.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, idiots.
Yeah. And so that it shows that like, and that doesn't like pound you over the head with this. It doesn't play up the emotions. Because the kid, it shows like how a kid starts to feel alienated, you know? And it doesn't, it's not like trying to give you the big payoff.
It doesn't, I think it also does a really good job. And again, we're ignoring, well, I'm not ignoring it, but we're not talking about the horror elements because I honestly, I don't feel like that's the most impactful stuff. I think that it does a very good job of showing you what it's like to live with a sibling who's nonverbal, and it kind of takes you step by step through the feelings of it, and I think it's a really effective. And then when you introduce this other kid who's like, well, I'm gonna pinch the shit out of your sister, and I'm thinking, oh, is she gonna defend her? Nope. She's
that's what I mean, and that shows, okay, because when you're a child, you're introduced to morality, right? And even if we talk about now, right, like there's a list of good things and a list of bad things, and they tell you this pretty early on, and that's most people's interaction with that stuff. And most of it's backed by consequences. It's not backed by, and some of the stuff you learn through social practice, right? Like there's a bully and this kid's doing this. Like, this is an exaggerated version. Like, one of the kids ends up killing his fucking mom and all this stuff. He's got, like, the roughest home life and all this stuff. But, yeah, what Jorge's saying about the kids are naturally curious, right? And when we say, like, earlier when you're talking about, like, you don't like kids, I'm not just, like, it's hard for me to do, but I have to be, like, they're not just kids. Like, it's a blank slate. They're not shitty people yet.
Right.
But we come into the world not knowing shit necessarily about good and evil, whatever we want to call those or specify those things. And so there is an innate cruelty in curiosity. Like, you're pinching someone and they're not reacting. Well, fucking, I'm going to do it again. Oh, there's this cat. Like, what happens if we drop it from the stairway? I'm not saying that's something all kids did, but a lot of kids, like, you know, I remember messing with spiders and messing with, there's an innate curiosity, not just to kids, but to life. You end up playing with stuff, you know what I mean? And then if you don't become socialized in one way or another, then you end up with fucking guys like Jeffrey Dahmer who are doing a lot of animal shit, and then it goes to other people.
Right.
Right, but I mean, so that's why I thought it explored that stuff, and that stuff gets explored without, I mean, the powers aren't necessary to explore that. It just so happens they also have, they want to explore the powers, like the telekinesis. Mm-hmm. But you didn't need telekinesis to drop a fucking cat from a stairway. You didn't need telekinesis to step on its head. You just need to be, have a little bit of cruelty and be curious enough to do it. And that's like, that's already happening, right?
Yeah. It's interesting, Matt. It's funny because when we talked about men last week, I feel like you were able to,
yeah, dude,
where you were able to unpack the feelings that you had of it a little bit more. But on this one, you're just kind of like,
I was just bored. Was bored out of my fucking mind. At least men, when I'm watching it, I'm like, wow, there's some weird shit going on. I really wonder what they're trying to say. And like in this movie, I didn't care what they were trying to say, because to me, it was just like, I just took everything at face value. It's like, okay, if you're trying to explore like family dynamics, it's not hitting with me. If you're trying to explore like, you know, kids figuring themselves out, it's just not hitting with me. Like there, it just didn't make me care enough to want to unpack that kind of stuff.
Well, and also, I mean, I guess when we're talking about feminism and toxic masculinity, we can speak from not a point of authority, but a point of where we,
of enlightenment.
Oh,
of wokeness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a subject that we interact with on a daily basis.
What do you mean?
it's out in the world, right? So like,
well, yeah, all of that is.
But
yeah.
I think the subjects that are explored in this film, I think you have to do a little bit more of like self role play and kind of put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's got a sibling with autism, or you know, is an ignored kid in the family, that sort of deal.
Yeah, I guess it depends. If, like Matt's saying, if you're innately just not interested in the vibe it's throwing off, or what it doesn't have that immersion factor, if you're not going to get in that cerebral kind of headspace with it. And for me, it was quiet enough and slow enough. For me, the quietness and the slowness of it is necessary to get in a certain headspace for the perspective of it. So I don't.
It almost becomes mantra like, I think, if you're watching the film and you can kind of get into the rhythm of it.
Yeah, and I don't mean that as some cop out for it being, I wasn't bored with it, but yeah, you get into a very kind of very like calm, like, okay, because I was fixated on the movie. I wasn't like looking at my phone. I was like, no, let me stay in this.
Well, see, that's another thing too, is with watching Men, I had at least seen a trailer where I had interest in seeing the movie. And like, I was in a setting where I had made time, granted it was last minute, but I had made time to see the movie. This movie I knew nothing about. I had no interest in seeing it. Once I saw the poster, I was like, man, this does not look like it's going to be for me. And then I had to watch it last minute. So it was something that I had no intention of doing on my own.
You were under the gun already.
And then when I had, and then
you're
when
not
I,
in a theater.
And then when I had to do it, I'm sitting at home, and like the fact that it wasn't in English, I had to sit and pay full attention to it. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't go and not like I have a problem with foreign films. Like some of my favorite movies are foreign films, right. But they need your attention. They do. Even though this movie was, as you say, glacially paced, I couldn't go and do.
Deliberate.
Glacial. I couldn't do my dishes while watching this movie. I couldn't, do something. I had to sit and watch this movie and just drag myself through this near 2 hours of this movie. And so every minute that ticked by was just another minute that I became more frustrated and disinterested in watching the remainder of the movie.
I see.
Yeah.
I mean, I can dig that. I mean, it's clearly not a movie for everyone.
Yeah, I'm not trying to convince. Yeah, you know what? I think in a few months you'll consider this your favorite movie.
Honestly,
Big Trouble in Little China.
I feel like in a few hours I will completely repress this movie. I will forget all of this movie.
Oh, that means it got to you,
dude. I don't think I'll forget the cat part, but you know, that's because that's fucked.
That was fucked.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know.
That's why, I mean, I'm not fucked for like some ghoulish sense either, which is fun sometimes. It was fucked to be like, it was effective, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it left an aftertaste with the rest of the movie.
Well, it definitely like illustrated very early on that kid's a fucking psychopath. Yeah. You know, like.
Well, they both are, despite. Well,
the innocence, right? That's the title.
Despite this girl sort of making a turnaround at the end, like, she's totally fine with dropping a cat off of fucking, I mean, like.
So, well, and that's so like, that, right with the saying, natural. The curiosity, it's like, it could, like.
Curiosity play, in this case really did kill
well,
the cat.
Well, no, curiosity didn't kill the cat. The fucking psychopath did, because the curiosity. But
his curiosity killed the cat.
So the curiosity could have just been like, hey, you know, if we drop this cat, will it land on its feet? You know, everybody did that where you pick up a cat and you drop it and it lands on its feet.
Not me.
Not everybody takes it, you know, up several flights of stairs. I've never heard another
living creature, including human beings, dude.
Okay. You hurt me all the time, dude.
I know, dude.
You know, so like.
Especially, you know, psychologically, dude.
So the cat getting dropped, like, that could be an innocent thing, and then it breaking its leg, like, was an unexpected consequence. However, when they chased it down and then that dickhead stepped on the cat's head, like, the main girl turned away, so she wasn't interested in that anymore. And it really illustrated that kid is a fucking psychopath. That girl maybe just has some curiosity, but she ultimately doesn't have
like a psychopathic
the
streak.
Evil vibe. Yeah.
Well, and that's okay. It's
despite like the cruel thing she was doing to her sister.
I like, it goes with the name of it too. When you bring that up with the evil thing, I think it shows like the banality of it. Like, meaning that it's not a well-developed evil because he's a malicious being. It has more to do with like, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Well, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And I think a lot of it is him lashing out, because if you notice the scene with him doing that shit to the cat, occurs right after he runs into those bullies and the bully bounces the soccer ball off his forehead.
Right. No, so I'm not trying to excuse his behavior.
But what I'm saying is all of his major evil things, all of his you know, violent outbursts.
That's what I'll call them, violent outbursts.
Come directly after he feels like he's been attacked in some sense.
Absolutely.
He does the cat after the bullies pick on him. He attacks the girl with vitiligo after they call him, what, a fart or a turd? Oh, after they call him a turd.
After they call him they say he's a bad boy too, which is what his mom says to him.
Yeah, see, so then he attacks his mom after his mom, you know, mom does shit to him.
And then, okay, so he's killed his mom and he goes and hangs out with them.
Does he actually kill his mom? Like, yeah. They never show her actually die.
Hold, before we go there. He does stuff to his mom, which I think she's at least dying. If she's not dead, I think she dies later. She doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Right? And he goes to play with them again, and shit goes south. He fucks that up, and then he alienates all of them. And then he goes back into the apartment, and he starts crying. He breaks down and
cries.
That was a great scene, moment, and to me that shows where I even said out loud, I'm like, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, he's trying to connect, and he's killed his mom or hurt his mom, and he's trying to like keep his friend there at his friends, and he fucked that over too. So he's on this self-destructive and destructive cycle where he's already like, and then when he's breaking down, he says mommy. And that's what I was getting at, that like, he's young and he doesn't like, yeah, he's developing psychopathic tendencies at a very young age, and he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. You know what I mean? And that's why it's like the innocence. Like, it's not like, he's not aware enough, and he doesn't have the experience to know that he's just trying to be evil. Like, he's crying and breaking down, which is generally, I mean, I don't think Ted Bundy did a lot of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think Ted Bundy did a lot of feeling bad about
it. Yeah, like, up to that point, I mean, not that what his antics weren't violent, but up to that point, it was like, I'm not going to say harmless, but it wasn't like, you know, I'm going to send somebody to kill a kid kind of deal.
Yeah.
Was that the girl with vitiligo's dad? Because they showed a picture of like her with what I'm assuming is her dad.
Lago.
I was thinking the same thing because they did show a picture of her with somebody with long hair.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was just somebody who lived in the building or because they all lived.
Yeah. Or if it was like a family member of hers.
Yeah. It was definitely somebody related to her. And that's probably why he used that person.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't understand what the kid's powers are and what the fuck happened at the end. I mean, like, obviously Ben, it's obvious what his powers are. Like, he has telekinesis and the ability to make people do what he wants. The girl with vitiligo, she's like the ultimate empath.
Yeah.
And like, she's got some form of telekinesis. But I don't understand the autistic girl's power. I don't fully understand the vitiligo girl's power. Also, the main girl has some kind of power because she screams and her cast falls off.
Okay, yeah. You hit on a good thing too. There's ambiguities in this movie, and I know you think that's a
cop-out. I don't like that.
I know you don't. No, but I thought it was a very good and very effective thing. They don't explain why, because the kids don't know why. Right. And it's not like, oh, let's build lore and blah, blah, blah. They're not trying to build a franchise, you know? So they're like, no, the kids are discovering their powers.
Well, and their powers seem to amplify each other's powers, but like they can also like transfer powers, or they can use each other's powers.
Well, there was two of them that could be used as amplifiers, or kind of like when you talk into a can and it goes across the wire and you hear it on the other end. That's how the kids, they could use the girls. So they could speak through them, and then it was easier for the message to come telepathically through a fucking conduit, and they'd be the conduit, and that's like, dupe, and that was a great fucking idea, mm-hmm. and I liked that, and it's also, again, it's not like, oh, we're gonna need some CGI and blah blah. It's like, no, you don't.
Well, yeah, like, and they do zero explanation as to where they get these powers. Yeah. Which I think is fucking cool, because you know, this kid's like, in the beginning, he's like, look, I can move this rock. And it sort of just goes from there. And I like that stuff. I like
it. Is it a thing in the town? Because what is the end? I need somebody to explain the ending to me.
The ending. The ending is, by the way, the ending is kind of this inversion. Like in the big superhero movie endings, you've got the showdown in Times Square. In the town square, or in the big fucking some scenic area, you got a showdown. Their showdown is outside, and you know, it's like all the parents are out there with the kids now because all this horrible shit's been happening, and it's in the middle of summer. And they're having this showdown around everybody that's quiet and silent, right? And you're talking about the showdown between them, right?
Yeah, but I feel like
there was
so many of the other kids have powers and joined in the showdown.
Correct. Yeah, and they teamed up against him telepathically, and that it basically killed him. It shut down his life.
Well,
and
then I get that like, he
vibe,
died.
That bad vibe thing hit the other kid, and he started crying, which was dope. I'm like, yeah, get that. Get that kid.
Get that vibe.
And that kid's like, that wasn't fucking cool. Like, I just felt the death wave, mom. And the mom, and again, it's the thing of the parents have no fuck. It's like Charlie Brown on acid. Like, the parents have no clue what their kids are living. They don't know what world their kids are living in. And I think that's it's not all metaphorical, but the more I talk about it, it's a really good metaphor, because the kids just got here and all that shit. They haven't been informed by society yet. So all that shit's still there. But, what I got was the kids in this area, for whatever reason, they have this kind of telepathic link, and this kid's in there and he's upsetting the fucking order of shit and he's hurting people. And then they come, you know, the ones they notice, they can feel the energy, what's going on outside. They feel the energy like all the other kids did, and they come out and they fucking direct their energy on him. Very Akira in a sense too. I started thinking about that. Like in Akira, you got Tetsuo and those three fucking kids.
Except Akira's dope as fuck.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's conceptually an influence. But yeah, that's what happened. They, you know, she came out and said, fucking, we got to kill this guy so he doesn't hurt people anymore.
Well, and even the sister was pretty good on her own against him. In a couple of scenes earlier.
Yeah.
So in the
woods.
Oh, the cast. Good. Earlier, she doesn't manifest powers, right? But she pushes him. And that's not a power. That's just her being physical. And so that was the tip off to me of like, okay, she's physical, right? But like, she had to actually do that. She gets the cast later and she screams and the cast breaks.
And I told Sophia, I said, if she's able to walk on her foot now, then that indicates that she's more durable and she heals more quickly. So that's, I think, a manifestation of her power. Hers isn't like telepathy and telekinesis.
See, so I thought she was going to have some kind of regenerative thing. Like when she touched the cat, like even though the cat's head was squished, I thought the cat was going to come back to life.
Good call.
Like,
with maybe she was instinctively trying to do that. Well, which I think she was trying to do instinctively, you know, but I think, you know, you see something, you do want to heal it like that. But that makes sense now that you mention it. But that's what I got. I got that her manifestation was that she had physical durability and that, like, because she shouldn't be able to run on that. That's not telekinesis.
Yeah, when she's got that weird double jointed thing, too.
Yeah, she's more physical. Like, the manifestations of her energy, dude, are more like she's going to throw down. Which is dope. I can't wait for the part 9.
The American remake where we actually get to see them fly around.
Where Spider-Man comes out.
It's Chronicle, dude. Chronicle 2.
Chronicle is good.
I mean, Chronicle.
Chromical.
Chrom.
Well, look, it's
so clear. You like the movie a lot better.
So now. Yeah, no. It's clear that
I still would never watch
top,
this again.
Top 5 for Matt this year.
I would never watch this again. I wouldn't recommend this to
anybody. Truthfully, I'm never going to watch this film again. This is not something that I'm going to invest any more time in, but
it's better than Let the Right One In as a Swedish horror film.
I think you're wrong.
I'm kidding. No, it's not.
But I support.
I think that's a mistake.
It's the sunny X-Men version of
Let the Right One In. I support your right to say that.
You know what? And it's nothing new at this point. There's been a few movies like this. Like, it is another good example to me of in broad daylight, it's not creaky doors and darkness. It's broad daylight. It's very sunny, which is an interesting juxtaposition to me.
Yeah, but I feel like that doesn't do anything to help build atmosphere. And for me, like,
it did
atmosphere and tension are big parts of what makes a movie impactful. And I guess I didn't get that with this.
That's fine. It's okay. But yeah, I think, does the end make more sense now? Potentially?
I mean, like...
Or does it, those no, ideas... No, because
that's what I figured was happening. Like, I figured all the kids were, like, teaming up, but then, like, I don't know. It just didn't make sense unless they just sent a message.
I don't know if I necessarily agree that, like, the babies were helping, but...
I didn't see the babies were helping. Well, no, I just saw the baby got hit by the death wave, which was dope.
Well, because, there was all the kids that, like, came out on their balconies and started staring, but all the babies...
Those kids.
All the babies did start crying. Like, all the moms started pushing the carriages.
The dogs started fucking barking, and all of that. Those are all... energetic realities, dude.
Maybe the babies were like the conduit for the real power.
I mean, like, if those babies had compound V and they could have shot lasers out of their eyes, dude, that would have been a lot cooler.
There's like the most
a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah. There's the most subtle, like, cues too that maybe it's the area, right? Like when the bad kid or our antagonist, like, he looks at the trees when some bad shit starts happening and the wind starts rustling and he's looking at the trees and kind of drawn to them. So it's like, is it in this area?
It's nature fighting back, dude.
Oh, shit, dude.
I don't like subtlety, dude.
It's the happening.
The sadness,
the too. Happening to
innocence.
Oh, fuck. The happening to sadness of the innocence.
That's the happening is better than all of those movies.
I don't know. I'll take an hour and a half of bike riding over 2 hours of plotting. Any day.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, you've put Red into a really fucked up.
Okay. So Matt and I were pretty unified with the sadness. Jorge didn't. He said, pero por qué? What? Why? And now Jorge and I are in general. I think I like it more than Jorge, but still the innocence. But what would you prefer? The innocence or the sadness?
Jorge? Oh, the innocence, like by leagues. Because, like, the sadness isn't really my isn't really my style of movie. Like, this is pretty darn close to...
It's almost there.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I wish this got...
I'll take somebody getting hot oil poured on their face and peeling their skin off any day.
Well, you had that.
All of a sudden, you'll take that?
No, that shit was cool. Enough. I said the cool shit. Yeah, that shit was cool in the sadness, but the movie still wasn't, like, a good movie.
You had this here.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she got a fight. The mom got a fucking boiling pot of shit on her leg.
It wasn't graphic enough.
It just made her legs red.
It was too realistic. He doesn't like
that. She got bopped in the head by a cast iron fucking pan.
The wieners flopped around on the floor. That was the real tragedy. It was all those wasted wieners, dude.
That's you.
He ate those wieners.
My wiener gets put to use. plenty.
Did you watch this with your significant other?
No. I tried to get her to watch it. We just didn't have time to watch it together. She is Swedish, though. So, like, she was interested in watching it. And we started learning Swedish on Duolingo. And there's a lot of words in English and Swedish that are exactly the same.
So like, they said fall in here. And they're like, fall? Fall? Yeah. And I'm
hi.
Like,
hi.
Hi. Yeah, like, oh. Oh, hello. Ah!
I've actually been to Sweden. It's a great little have fucking you? Place. Yeah.
Yeah,
Stockholm is awesome.
Yeah, I think I'd fit right in.
Is she into like Meshuga, ABBA?
She's into like Death Cab and Cake and stuff okay. like that.
Death Cab has a new album coming out. They have a new single called Roman Candles.
Really? I haven't heard that yet.
It's oddly experimental sounding, and it does this build up, and it's like, now it's over. It sounds like a 2.5 minute build up that's about to go into the song, and then it stops.
And then it's like, psych.
Yeah,
psych.
But
speaking of which, have you heard the new Arcade Fire
god.
Album?
Oh god, oh god. You know what? Oh, I saw some reviews saying that it was it's a return to form, and others were like, no, it's not. And so I'm like, okay, where am I with this? And there's parts where it's okay, but it's like da 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 da.
But you know, it's in the conversation, dude.
I know. That's why I listen to it. That's exactly why I would listen to it. Yeah. So that's the difference.
that Kendrick album though.
And what did you think of the Arcade Fire?
It's not good.
They're done. They're like, it's like Coldplay almost.
Does that make you
That's sad. No,
I always think about this, like not that I'm like like when bands release a real stinker of a fucking album like decades after their last great album. Like Weezer the last like 10 years has released God. Nothing but shit.
Okay, on that note, when was the last time you cared about a 311 record?
Oh my God. Sound system.
Dude, same. Because I was telling my little sister, I'm like, damn, I think I stopped giving a shit about their records like 20 years ago. Maybe from Chaos?
2000, 2001.
Or was From Chaos before or Sound System?
No, it was after.
It was after. I'm not doing that
either. I think From Chaos had a couple songs. Like, I think I'll Be A While was on.
There's two threads. One is us getting older. The other is the band getting older. So there was, both were working against it.
Grassroots, right? 311, Transistor, Sound System. I think From Chaos was the last album that I cared anything about.
There was a couple songs on there, but like they played some songs where I was like, man, I've never heard this and this is awful. Like, and they said a couple days before I saw them was their 30th anniversary or 32nd anniversary of their first show. So they started in 1990. So I have not been a 311 fan for longer than I was a 311 fan.
Well, there you go.
That's crazy.
Did they play funk slap bass mixed with the dance hall and
hip hop bass and punk guitar and deadly on the mic, that's one essay. You call it 311 and you know it ain't easy.
Oh man. All right. Well, that's the Who Goes Your Podcast for Los Inocentes.
Padre Inocente.
Doesn't he say you'll be able to tell just what dope is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been able to tell what dope is for 20 years.
If you're not original, my friend, you will get shot down by the kids. Okay, that makes it a little less hardcore. So I'm glad he's yeah, not you know actually why? Threatening to shoot people. You know why? Is not trying to threaten to shoot people.
Because guns are for pussies.
Misdirected hostility.
That's what you got, see?
Misdirected hostility.
That's what you got, see?
Misdirected hostility.
That's what you got, see?
Misdirected hostility.
That's what you got.
Well, hold up. Hold up. Segue. Last week we did Men. This week we did The Innocents.
No, you're the only one that's done Men.
Last week we did Men. This week we did Children.
I got him. Well, you're missing out.
Next week we're doing...
he's like, wait, what?
Next week we're doing crime, dude.
Crimes of the future. And that's what I think. That's what I mean. This might be like Matt's break. He's done Men, The Innocents, and Crimes of the Future. So I'm wondering if you guys want
to
change.
We're just letting Rhett pick all the movies.
I'm not picking. We were going to do Men either way. I'm telling you, this is what's out. This is what's out in the zeitgeist, Matt. Like, what do you. So let's discuss afterwards.
Using that word.
Yeah. It is. Well, it is.
We've already got art being made for Crimes of the Future.
We should probably do something totally zany and retarded next instead, okay? Because Crimes of the Future is not the movie you need right now. I'm telling you, dude.
Shit. All right. Well, we're going to be doing that movie. Oh, boy. We'll see you later, idiots. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Fox.
We Fox. He Fox. He Fox. And we Fox.
Oh my fuck.
Fuck.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.